Welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks here with Jeff Feagles. What is up, my friend?
Hi.
Hi. How you doing?
You're fresh back from a Bristol, convention up there, right?
Stint. Well, yeah, it's so I was up in Bristol on I drove up there Monday night. I was up there Monday night. Tuesday, Wednesday, ESPN had a fantasy football summit. It talked about, the players, new free agents, draft picks, this and that. It was really phenomenal, and then I got back late last night. So yes,
that's what summits are all about. They're knowledge base. You go kind of. It's great.
But let's do this. Let's tie this into the Giants since it's his Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Right.
How about this? So much love for Sterling Shepard at this summit that at the end of the summit we had a 10-team mock draft, and Field Yates selected Sterling Shepard in the 8th round of the Fantasy Football League, the 33rd wide receiver taken. How about that?
I don't know. That doesn't sound good to me.
See,
I don't know fantasy.
if I would have done that, she's drinking the blue Kool-Aid.
Yeah, but
she works for the organization. She's biased, but this is Field Yates, who, as we know from New England, he's a big Patriots fan. He worked for the Patriots for several years. I mean, this is a legitimate, like him and a number, Matthew Berry, expecting big, big things
from Sterling Shepard this season. And I do, too. I think that he's going to fit right in. Comes from a big program. He's, there's kind of, you don't know what's going to happen with Victor. And I think that, how was Victor Cruz? Did he get in that draft?
Oops.
Nice. Is that what you're telling me that happened with Victor Cruz on the draft, that the ball went flying over?
That wasn't a good sign for Victor Cruz, though, was
no.
it? Anyway, well,
but I mean, Victor Cruz, we kind of don't know what's going to happen to him. So was he
drafted high on
some of those boards?
Victor Cruz went undrafted.
Oh, he went undrafted. Okay, yeah. Well,
I think the big reason is because you just don't know. I was actually going to take a flyer on him because I saved my kicker until the 16th round. I was going to take a flyer on him in round 15, but I went with Josh Doctson, the wide receiver for the Washington Redskins, because everything that I heard coming into the draft, that he was hands down the best wide receiver coming out this year, but he wasn't drafted. Corey Coleman went first to the Cleveland Browns.
You got a sleeper there.
Now he's in Washington. He's playing alongside DeSean Jackson, who's going to stretch the field. Pierre Garçon, who's a possession receiver. Jordan Reed, some people feel that he might put up better numbers than Gronk. I like Doctson, so I took a gamble on Doctson in round 15. But getting back to Victor Cruz, I mean, listen, everything we're hearing here at the organization is that he's healthy, he feels good, he's running routes, he's going to be ready for OTAs, he's going to be ready for training camp. So there's hefty expectations, there's excitement, there's optimism. Even he's very optimistic, but again, you just don't know. Stefania Bell spoke to a number of us at this summit, and she went through a list of players, her top 10 players who she has the most concerns about. Now, keep in mind, Jimmy Graham suffered the same injury last year with the Seattle Seahawks. And one thing she said is that when a player suffers a patella tendon tear, unfortunately, they never come back the same. Where, for example, a player might tear an ACL, a player might tear
stronger.
An MCL, they could come back stronger. It might take them 2 years, but when they do come back, they recover. It's like Tommy John surgery, right, for starting pitchers, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of times they say, they come back, they might have a bionic arm because of the way that they're able to reconstruct it. Well, unfortunately, that's not the case with patella tendon tears. So she is not expecting Victor Cruz to be the vintage Victor Cruz. She's definitely not expecting Jimmy Graham to be the vintage Jimmy Graham, let alone they used him more of as a blocking tight end in Seattle than they did as a receiving tight end. But nonetheless, so there's some concerns there.
Sure, and I think that, the draft pick of Shepard indicated that, and they want to make sure that they go out and get a quality receiver. They went as high as the second round to pick him, and he's a good one. They'll begin to work on that chemistry between Eli Manning and that new receiver core, because there's a lot of them out there now, and continue to get better. The rookies are in camp here now, which is always fun to watch, because number one, you're trying to figure out who everybody is. If you don't have a roster, forget about it. But these guys, this is kind of to go back about rookie minicamp. this is how I made it into the National Football League, was this camp right here. The rookie mini camp, came in, wasn't drafted, was signed right out of just the day of the draft, and you come in there and you got to start making an impact. You got to start taking over and showing the team that you're worthy of getting invited to training camp, and that's what this is all about. I mean, just seen how many guys were out on the field earlier that I was watching practice, and lots of them. But these guys are chasing that dream. A select few of them will be invited to come to the training camp, and then. You know, as this roster expands, Anita, you're going to have also the veteran guys that are getting released on other teams because they're signing these rookies and free agents, which now opens up a whole, a gamut of people that the Giants, if they're still at a need position, which we still feel that the offensive line is one of those, and maybe they'll go out and try to find somebody. So it's interesting time. And we're going to talk a little bit later about today. Today's going to be a great time in the building. We've got Justin Tuck, who has signed with the Giants. He won't be playing for the Giants, but he'll be signed by the Giants. And today he's going to officially retire. And I will tell you that it's an amazing day because I remember when I was able to have this same day when I retired, the Giants just they do it right. And we're really, really proud of Justin Tuck, proud to be his teammate. Happy for his career. He's going to be very successful now that he's done playing football, and he's got a bright side, bright future ahead of him. And what a great man! So the Giants will honor him today, and he will step away from football, which will be great, and move on to the next chapter in his life. And that brings us to this. So
yeah,
here we are.
I mean, it's pretty amazing. Again, you know, we're coming to you live from the Giants facility, and I've been here since 11:30. Coordinators made themselves available to the media around 11:40. Also, Eli Apple, when I was leaving, he was about to talk to the media. I'm actually getting text messages from Paul Dottino in regard to what he's communicating to the media. I will share that with you. But walking around here, I mean, this place is jam-packed. I mean, I stepped into the lunchroom to get a Gatorade, and it's like there's not an empty
no
seat.
Gatorade left.
It's just amazing how many rookie free agents
are
here right now, trying to audition and trying to make this roster. By the way, I want to let you know, folks out there watching, listening, really tweeting that the show isn't working on the app. We realize that we are having technical problems, and we are working on it. But you can of course watch the show on Giants.com. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. That's how you get on board. 201-939-4513. Also, I'll be monitoring Twitter throughout the show. So hashtag Giants chat, and I will share your tweets. Obviously, that's how we're very well aware that the show's not working on the app. But you were talking about Justin Tuck. I'm really excited. By the way, the press conference is at 2 o'clock this afternoon, and that will be streaming live on Giants.com if you want to watch it. You know, obviously you played with Justin Tuck. I covered him professionally. I think one of the best athletes I've covered.
Sure.
Always a pro's pro, a great vet, made himself available to the media, very gracious, very kind, always a good interview, played hard. I was sad when he left to go to the Oakland Raiders. And granted, you kind of know, like, listen, you know this very well, and I think it was, right? His last contract, when he left, I think that was his last contract that he had signed. So you understand why at that point in time in somebody's career, especially after they've won a Super Bowl, that they do chase the money. I get it. He's got a family. But thrilled that he's retiring as a Giant.
Yeah, but I mean, a lot of times chase the money. I think that, you know, this is a business, so the Giants didn't want to pay him, and he still wanted to play football. And, you know, every player feels like they're worth, you know, more than the market would think. But listen, you know, he went out and had a nice brief stay on the West Coast and then decided that's it. But, I mean, I remember when the Giants drafted him. And he came into the locker room, you know, coming from Notre Dame. He was pretty decorated in that sense, at least for all the people that like Notre Dame. I didn't. But I didn't hold that against him. But I feel like he was just way above in the maturation process of a rookie. And I could just tell that he was going to be one of those leaders. And sure enough, you know, he did. And he was just one of the guys that commanded the attention in the locker room when he spoke. We had our player-only meetings before. Justin was always there talking. And it wasn't just soapboxing. He was making sense, and he was just very honest. And he was one of those guys that really wanted others to get better with him. and enjoy the journey. Come with me. Let's work harder. Let's do those kinds of things. A lot of things that you hear in the locker room from other teams that don't happen to have leaders like this. And what a leader he was, and he continued to be, and he continues to be a leader today off the field in his endeavors with his charity works, because we all know what Justin Tuck has done over the years with his charitable stuff, and so he continues to do that. But you know, I will tell you, there wasn't a guy that on this team that didn't trust that Justin Tuck was going to get it done for us on game day. Certainly, we saw in the 07 Super Bowl that defensive line, what they did, him, Strahan and Tuck and OC and those guys, and that's you know, without them, we wouldn't have won that Super Bowl, and same thing in 2011. So Justin Tuck gets a couple Pro Bowls. He gets an All-Pro in 2008, and he gets two Super Bowls. That's quite a resume going away. So congratulations to Justin, and we wish him the best of luck. And, you guys can follow it streaming live at 2 o'clock on Big Blue.
Are you sticking around for it?
I'm going to try to get around here, yes. Yes, I am going to try to stay.
Some great news for the Giants, and that is a number of their rookies have signed. Eli Apple, Sterling Shepard, obviously running back Perkins from UCLA. The only two that have not signed is their third and fourth round selection, Boise State safety Darian Thompson, as well as Clemson linebacker B.J. Goodson. They're the only two that have not signed yet. In addition to that, 14 undrafted free agents have signed. Josh Woodrum, quarterback from Liberty. Roger Lewis, this is interesting. Roger Lewis, a wide receiver from Bowling Green. A lot of hype, a lot of excitement about him. He signed a number of wide receivers, a tight end, a few tight ends, a defensive end, defensive tackles, a safety, two corners. That's where it stands right now. But let me tell you something. There are a ton of young men that are in this building right now that are here to kind of show what they can do and try to make the roster.
And just to show you, those guys that signed contracts, that means that the Giants think something of them, because there will be guys walking out of this building tomorrow when I guess it concludes that will not have an opportunity to have a contract and sign one. So, you know, it's a bit of a crapshoot here with the rookie mini camp, free agent camps, and it's just like, you know, these guys are chasing that dream, like I said, and it's tough because when you go into training camp, you can only have so many people, and we'll see what happens. But, you know, these are the guys that just, you know, some of them may have just dropped out of the draft just barely. They could have been seventh rounders, but it's funny, Anita, on draft day, the last day, as soon as, for instance, like the Giants, they kind of got a head start on signing free agents because they didn't have a seventh-round draft pick. So as soon as they were done with the draft, they were able to, you know, get a head start and wait till as soon as that seventh round was over, they were on the phone picking up guys and bringing them in here and trying to get them into the minicamp, and that's what they're here today. So, you know, one of the things they do at this minicamp is there's not a lot that they like to do physically, because the last thing you want to do is get somebody hurt in one of these things, and then, you know, they have to rehab and have to do all that stuff. So it's very tough in that way. But they want to get an eye test. They want to see what these guys look like. They want to look at some of their techniques. They look at a lot of special teams periods, because they want to see what these guys would be able to do, because most likely any of these guys that are signed that make the team are probably going to play special teams. So they're doing a lot of drills with those kinds of things and really trying to build kind of a roster of who they want to go into training camp with.
Want to remind you, fans, don't forget Big Blue Kickoff Live brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter the promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. All right, phone lines are open, 201-939-4513. Apparently, Eli Apple has addressed the media. So Spagnuolo, he addressed the media earlier today. Mike Sullivan addressed the media after him. I'll get into that a little bit later. I know we've got some folks who want to chime in. We'll get to you in a hot second. Eli Apple and now Sterling Shepard is addressing the media. So, and I'm getting text messages from Polly Dots. He's there and he's sending me what they're saying. So we can dive into that as well. I'm monitoring your tweets and we're taking your calls. So let's get to it. Number one, we start with Abdul calling in from Minnesota. Abdul, welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey guys, what's up?
Hi.
Hey Abdul.
It's kind of a bittersweet day with Justin Tuck. You know, he was one of my favorite players when I was growing up, and it kind of makes you feel old that now he's retiring. I'm like, oh my God, like, you know, people who are, you know, I've watched since the beginning are now leaving the game. And he was part of one of the best draft draft classes in Giants history. I think that they had four picks, and it was Justin Tuck, the running back, and Corey Webster. And I think the three out of the four picks, you know, were almost all pros.
That Bradshaw? Kind of thing. Bradshaw was one of those picks?
No, the big guy. What's his name?
Brandon Jacobs.
Yes, Jacobs.
Yeah, Brandon, yep.
Webster and him, yeah. And another thing I was going to talk about is the guy Roger Lewis you mentioned. I just watched his tape. He looked really good. I guarantee you he's going to be the this year's darling at camp. You'll get tons of calls saying he has to make the team. I hear it coming right now because he looks pretty good on tape. And third thing I want to say, the other day you guys were talking with the international players and if they were going to if what kind of trend it was. And I see it kind of like how the NBA was in the late 80s and early 90s when international players started to come, and it was like, can these guys really play in the NBA? And now you look, you know, half the teams have NBA or European players on them. And I can see that happening in the NFL as, you know, the game grows internationally and more players prove they can do it. I can see the floodgates opening up like it did the NBA and having a bunch of players on rosters.
Well, I think you're right. You're starting to see a lot of international players signed. I mean, the Giants have one. They had Marcus Kuhn, you know. And so my only hesitant about that is that, you know, some of these guys, where they're playing at, you know. I mean, the competition that they're – but if they, you know, if they meet the eye test and they got the height and the weight and the skill set.
The same thing was said back in the day.
Sure.
Who are these European players? Who are they playing against? You know, the competition level isn't as high. And – if you look back at it, the European players have done really well in the NBA.
Sure.
You know?
Well, I mean, every time you turn around, there's tons of them. You know, I mean, a lot of them are coming from Italy and all, and even now, the American players are going over there to play basketball. You know, just to get the exposure. So
you know, the Vikings signed the German guy. He got a lot of press here,
and he got drafted. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So it would be great to see that talent pool open up.
Never know.
All right, guys.
Never know.
Enjoy your weekend.
Thanks, Abdul.
Thank you. Thank you for the phone call. This in from I'm following Dan Graziano. He said that Sterling Shepard said it's a coincidence that the Giants assigned him his late father's uniform, number 87. He was hoping for something in the teens, but he said he's going to rock with it.
Good.
I'm really excited about that kid. I can't wait to see him practice. Let's continue with the calls. We go to Kevin in Orlando. He wants to talk about the offensive line. Kevin, welcome.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, thanks, guys. I had a question. I feel like I'm on an island to myself when it comes to Giants fans. I am not freaked out about the offensive line, and I am not surprised at all that they didn't draft an offensive lineman in the draft, or at least in the early rounds, because to me, a third cornerback, based on the way this roster is constructed, was much more needed than another offensive tackle.
Let me ask you this. So, if the season was to start tomorrow, more than likely it would be Bobby Hart and Marshall Newhouse at your right guard and right tackle.
I'll disagree with, because what I look at it is John Jerry is much maligned by Giants fans, but he's an above-average pass blocker, and Weston Richburg has come out and praised him, and Weston Richburg's already looking like a pro's pro, and if he's the guy who's praising you, that's a pretty good sign for a guy who lives and breathes football.
So I'm comfortable
with John Jerry as guard.
John Jerry or Bobby Hart. It's going to be, just so you know, it's going to be a competition, and in talking to a number of the coaches, they feel that Bobby Hart has more talent. He just needs to mature a little bit, and if he's been able to do that this offseason and come into camp and really compete, you know, it is a toss-up. It's not a done deal for John Jerry. So by just saying that, and you're okay, whether it's Bobby Hart, John Jerry, Marshall Newhouse, you're cool with that being the right side of the line?
Well, no, Newhouse is a backup. I don't want Newhouse there.
So who do you see starting? So then who do you see starting at right tackle?
Bobby Hart. I think the Giants have enough faith in him. I think that they have a plan. They're not stupid. They wouldn't just ignore the position completely. Everyone's up in arms. Hey, they've ignored that position completely in free agency and everything like that. They have a plan. So they either probably have more faith in them that they're letting on, and they weren't going to obviously tip their hand going into the draft about something like that. But also the other thing, too, is they've spent three premium picks on the offensive line, two first-rounders and a second-rounder. Any team worth its salt needs balance across positions. You don't want to dump yet another high first, maybe second round pick into another offensive lineman, because then from a salary cap perspective, it just creates something out of whack. You should be able to, if you're smart enough, and I think Jerry Reese is, find two guys out of the five, either that are veterans or late round picks, to constitute the rest of the offensive line. You don't need, like, Dallas, first and second rounds across the board. I mean, yeah, granted, everyone sees that and loves that, but you don't need that to be successful.
Well, my opinion on, you know, the reason the Giants didn't draft an offensive lineman was the fact that any of the guys that were still left on the board, they felt that just they weren't as good as who they had on their roster now, so why waste a pick? And they wanted to still continue to build that defense. Don't be surprised. And, you know, there's a lot that's going to be coming out here soon. We're almost to June 1st, and when that June 1st comes around, there's guys that get cut, veterans. And guys are getting the veterans are getting cut now. You're seeing it every day. These players, because the rookies are signing, and they got to go. The veterans got to go. So my idea is that the Giants have a plan, like you said. And, Kevin, we appreciate the call. And the other thing is that they're going to do what they got to do, but they feel like what they have on the roster now is good enough to compete. And if they can add to it, which I think they will, and I think that they have some plans in going in that direction, that they're going to be okay. But I certainly understood the pick with defense, and I still continue to think that they need to build that defense. And they did it through the draft. And I think that there's going to be a lot of these young players that are going to play this year. And get that defense back to where it should be. You know, Spags is probably, you know, sitting there every day going over this roster going, where am I going to plug these guys in? Well, he's got some draft picks now that he certainly has the ability to do that with the linebacking position and the defensive backs. And not only that, the defensive line too.
201-939-4513. That's how you get on board. We're taking your calls. Also, follow us on Twitter at Giants, hashtag Giants Chat. This is from Ed. He says, Jeff and Anita, great show.
Thank you.
Do you see Eli start covering outside this year? Hope to see Shepard play wide out with Cruz because at slot.
Well, I was just reading some of the tweets from Eli. They got him learning all the positions. So, you know, inside, outside, slot, you name it.
Spending the past 2 days up in Bristol in this, and I know it's a fantasy football summit, but you know
you got to
talk real football to understand how to win at fantasy. And one thing that's evident is we went down the list of starting slot receivers in the NFL. I mean, listen, this is an NFL right now that majority of offenses are playing three wide.
Sure.
Okay.
That's why you need three quarters.
And so now in a number of those offenses, that slot wide receiver is sometimes the best receiver that's out there.
And so
that nickel corner, there's some hefty expectations for him.
So how do you think
Eli Apple is going to what do you think the learning curve is going to be here? That's what I should ask you, Jeff.
I think it'll be quick. I mean, he's a smart kid, comes from a big program. You know, they've taught him well. I think their intent is to, you know, listen, Jenkins can play slot too, okay? So if you have to get in there and you line up and they're in a man and they put the best guy on DRC and, you know, whatever it is. But I feel like his learning curve is going to be – he's going to get in. Coach McAdoo said it the other day, and I had heard him on his interview, and whether it's offense or defense, it doesn't matter, is that the – you got to get in the book and learn because the system is going on. And if you're not going to be able to take with you the system, then you're going to be left behind. I think that Eli Apple, his upside is that he's a smart kid and he'll be able to learn all those positions. I see him coming in. He's going to be the third corner on the field all the time. And sometimes he'll play slot. Sometimes he'll play outside. And I think that's the way their confidence level and why they drafted him.
Spagnuolo addressed the media earlier today. He spent a lot of time talking about Tuck. How he saw him in the building, I guess yesterday or the day before, and really had some fantastic things to say about him. Also said that he spent a lot of time with the defensive line rookies that are here. Right now, what they're doing is they're paying attention to intelligence because it's really important how fast, as a rookie, it's really important how fast you can learn this defense.
Yep.
And another thing he said is that another thing he looks at that he really likes is, you know, players that are not afraid to be loud. And also players that aren't afraid to make mistakes, because that's how you learn. You learn from making mistakes, especially at practice. So you got to take gamble. You got to take risk. And that's what Spags is looking at. For Sullivan, the offensive coordinator, Sully, the first question obviously was about Sterling Shepard. He said he likes him a lot. He's very, very bright, competitive, physical, strong. He takes his blocking seriously, and he's extremely explosive. They will teach him all spots on the offensive line, and has the tools to play outside and inside.
And he's got a 41-inch vertical at a 5'11"
frame. It's 3 inches higher than Odell, by the way. Did you know that?
I didn't know that, but yeah. I knew he had a 41-inch, and he's 5'11", so he can climb the ladder, as we say.
Three inches more than Odell, and you see what Odell does in those
sure.
pregame.
You know, something on Spags that you said, you know, he likes players that are loud. Well, you know, there's the difference between players. What he means by that is a guy that can be loud and, you know, lead by example. You know, guys that want that there are guys in the locker room that are loud, that they're obnoxiously loud, like to the point where you tell the guy just shut up, you know, because you can be loud, but you want to be that type of a leader and you want to be able to be a good football player. It all goes hand in hand. If I have confidence I'm going to be a good football player, then I can be loud in the locker room. Don't give me the loud guy in the locker room that's a buffoon on the field. And I'm not going to name a name. He's not here anymore, but you know, it's just that's what happens to some of these guys.
He actually just got cut by the Dolphins, by the way.
Oh, wow, you're good. I wonder how you figured that one out,
yeah.
Anita.
Not hard.
Not hard, right? That wasn't easy.
Sullivan also talked about the running back competition.
And that's a good question.
And this was a big question that was asked to me while I was at this summit. And because everyone wants to, like,
who do
you
we
know,
draft?
Yeah. Who do you like? So
you got nine of them.
What? Yeah, exactly. Like, so what happens with Rashad Jennings this year? Listen, he finished the season so strong, and there's some question marks in regard to, okay, did he finish the season strong because they really made a commitment to go to him as that lead back and giving him 20 plus touches a game?
Yeah.
Did he finish the season strong because this offensive line gelled more as a unit the last five games than at any point in time in the season? I mean, I think you can say it's a little bit of everything, but that's going to be interesting. Obviously, and then incorporating Shane Vereen into his second year here, you have Andre Williams that this team spent a fourth-round draft pick on. I think they're expecting for him to kind of, and I use this phrase each and every year, there's a few guys that I look at that need to turn that corner,
yeah.
And Andre Williams is one of them. That dude needs to turn that corner.
Right.
You got Darkwa, who's a huge favorite in that locker room. I know that he's a huge favorite with the fans. They go out and they draft Perkins. And also, there's this pretty cool running back that's here right now. His last name is Russell. He came over. He played in Germany for 4 years. And I'm hearing some really great things about this cat.
Well, there's – and keep going. You got Bobby
– Bobby Rainey.
Yeah, I mean, so it's like I'm going to answer your question that you asked at the beginning about which was it, the line gelling or the commitment to the run. I think at the juncture they were at in the season last year, they realized that the rotation didn't work and that they said, okay, who was our best option at running back? It was Rashad. So they went with him. And all the running backs will tell you this, Anita, is the fact that they need tempo. They need to get in there and kind of create a tempo, and then that's what happened. He got in there, and he started making some hay in the running game. The line were blocking a little bit better, and you start feeding like that. So that's what happened. So there's going to be stiff competition. It's going to come down to special teams. I'd say this all the time. That third running back position – and possibly a fourth, which I don't think there – maybe there will be. Who knows? But those third and fourth running backs, they're special teams guys. Darkwa, by far, one of their best special teams players. So the draft pick from UCLA, he's going to have to learn how to play special teams real quick because that's where he's going to be. The new tight end that the Giants picked up, and they're not in my memory bank today, but the sixth round draft pick, the tight end. Great on special teams. I read an article the other day about how he covers kicks and how he takes pride in special teams. Those are the types of things you like to hear out of those late round draft picks that understand that that's where they're going to play the first year. Gerald Adams, there you go. Thank you so much. But that's where you're going to be. You're going to be on special teams. He's a good blocker, which they need. And of course, we know that they just released Cunningham, who was not a very good blocker. So.
201-939-4513 is the phone number. Let's go to David calling in from North Carolina.
Oh, you got it. All right.
David, welcome.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Great.
Just wanted to, of course, comment on Tuck. just a great career, great Giant. Appreciate everything he did. But wanted to focus on the draft and kind of help explain. I know there's been plenty of calls, and it's been beat to death about the Eli Apple pick. And Paul kind of touched on it the other day. I was glad he finally brought it up. You know, I don't think it's so much that it wasn't a need, and the fans that are not happy with the pick, it's not that we didn't need corner, and obviously it's a glaring depth issue on our roster. It's just, to me, and maybe you can't draft this way, but with Eli Manning's age and the state of the team, I would just like that first-round pick to be more of an immediate impact because of Eli Manning. And I know you guys keep throwing out there, well, you need three and four corners, but I think, and Paul kind of touched on it yesterday at the end of the show, I don't think we can just assume that Eli's going to step in and automatically be that third corner. It's very tough to transition to the pro game.
I remember Aaron Ross in 2007,
halfway through the year before he finally, him and Corey Webster finally took hold of those jobs on the outside from RW and Sam Madison. I mean, it's a tough transition. Now, maybe our roster is so weak, he's
Bingo.
The best man, and we just throw him in the fire.
Yeah. Well, listen, you know what? Your draft, your first-round draft pick, you're banking that this kid's going to play. And, you know, I know it's a tough transition. It's a tough transition for everybody at every position. But the fact of the matter is that you put your intelligence in drafting a guy that comes from a big-time program. And you're going to have him play on Sunday. I mean, and you also hit the nail on the head. The depth at the Giants may have a big impact there, too, because really, when you think about who's behind these guys, it's not much.
Yeah, and I know we take for granted, you know, Eli's durability, and we try to, you know, maybe we ignore that age factor, but, I mean, there's a lot of luck involved in that. I mean, at the end of the 2013 season, if that wouldn't have been the last game of the year, Eli Manning's streak would have been over. He was in a booth that next weekend after he played the Redskins and hurt his ankle in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we take it for granted, but there's a lot of luck involved
in
that streak. And to me, I love the Paul Perkins kid, but it just, man, this draft was supposed to be so deep in defensive linemen. It's just, to me, it's a shame. I think defensive linemen's a little bit easier transition position. It's just a shame we didn't pick one up. It's a shame that we didn't get a guy that could play the D-line and contribute and be a part of that rotation, because I worry we've got some bodies there. I just don't know if we've got enough pass rushers there. And then my last thing, I've been wanting to ask this the last few times I've come in or I've called in. That beautiful other Giants helmet that sits on the desk. I know with the concussion protocol, the jerseys they can't switch the helmets out anymore. Now that Tom Coughlin's gone, boy, I'd really love to see one Sunday. I know we did away with the red, and that's fine, but wouldn't it be nice to put on the old 80s Giants blue? Is there any chance we can talk to the equipment guy? What's his name? Sheba? Joe? Is there any chance we can find out if there's an alternate uniform in the works this year? I'd love to see the old helmet, but that's not an option. But even if we can't put the old helmet on, I'd love to see the old 80s darker shade of blue. I'll take it off there. Thanks, guys.
Well, you know, last year they had the white pants. That was kind of a throwback.
I don't dig the white pants.
But, I mean, it's just the way, you know, but it would have been really nice if they had those white pants with what he was talking about with these helmets, with the Giants helmets. But I don't know what's in the works. Maybe we can find something out about that, but you know, I hated those red jerseys when we had them. I just, you know, it's just weird. But you're big blue, not big red. I played for big red. That was the Cardinals, and we were horrible. Terrible team. Terrible jerseys.
You're so funny.
But they're good now. They're good now. They got a good coach. That's why. So.
This is from tweets again, @Giants, #GiantsChat. This is from Robert. He says, any news on Anthony Davis, what's being asked for him, and how close to the Giants? Is he worth it? I have heard nothing. I know nothing. And even if this organization
can't say nothing,
can't say anything.
Yeah. And therefore we can't say anything, even if we know anything, which we don't. So, but everybody can talk about it. It's an option for those people that are, you know, wanting another offensive line in here. Like I said, watch what's going to happen here in the next month. There's going to be some movement in the NFL, and it could be a lineman, it could be a defensive lineman, it's going to be a veteran, and we'll see. You know, just so watch that, because there's that June 1st cut. You know, if they cut you after June 1st, then they don't have to absorb as much cap hit. So there's a lot of players that they're just waiting until June 1st.
This is from Ben. He says, I think the third cornerback is an impact player. How many games have we lost to slot receivers going up against opponents? And I agree with you. I mean, Eli Apple is going to be on that football field.
Heck yeah.
I mean, this is a number 10 pick overall.
But, you know, in the grand scheme of things of what really the Giants have tried to do starting with free agency was, okay, let's go out and let's find some guys that we can put some pressure on the quarterback. Okay. We got JPP coming back this year. Hopefully I had heard, Jerry Reese say that he's going to, you know, want to play without that cast, which, you know, he couldn't grab anything last year. You got OV, you got Snacks, you got Hankins, you got to get some pressure on the quarterback. Okay, so now that we're getting pressure on the quarterback, we got DRC out here, and we need another cornerback. Okay, so we go out and they get Eli Apple to maybe get these guys to be able to cover a little bit, get some pressure on the quarterback, then things start to defensively shape up. Then you got some new linebackers coming in there. That's a guy that was signed from Washington. So there is a philosophy that's involved in a pecking order of what they did in free agency. They moved to the safety position. You know, I mean, it's good. And so what they're doing is that there's a method to their madness. I still believe the offensive line, they believe that what they have here is better than what they could have saw in the draft. And watch out for some free agents coming up soon.
This is from Pete. He says Sterling Shepard along with Odell Beckham Jr. could be amazing if he's anything like he was in college. I think he's more like OBJ than Victor Cruz.
Well, I mean, we haven't seen a lot of Shepard other than what I saw on him on TV. You know, I'm not, not the big draft guy that goes and watches film everywhere, but I know that watching him on TV and just he's very electric, and I think he'll learn a lot from OBJ because we obviously know what he can do. You know, last year with Reuben Randall, we were all hoping that Reuben Randall was going to have this come out year in his contract year because of all the attention that was being paid to OBJ, but it didn't happen. So there's granted that someone's going to get, you know, neglected on coverage, and it might be Sterling Shepard, and maybe that's why he got drafted 30th in your fantasy football because they're seeing the same thing, you know?
33rd.
But and then for instance, if Victor Cruz comes back healthy, Victor can play outside, Victor can play inside, OBJ can play inside. They can all play everywhere, guys. It doesn't matter if you're just on paper, you're an X, you're whatever it is. That's what you're on paper, but doesn't mean you have to play there.
Well, that leads us to our next tweet, and it's from Obadiah, I want to say. If Cruz is healthy, would Odell, Shepard, and Cruz rotate at the slot position?
Of course they would. Now, you're not going to put OBJ in the slot all the time, but you know, they're gonna come out in different formations, and it's all about matchups, guys. You know that. We talk about it every Sunday, who's matching up against who, and you just want to create a mismatch offensively. And if you can do that, then OBJ will line up in the slot. Maybe the opposite side, Cruz outside if he's playing. So just that's absolutely, absolutely. You can definitely line up there.
This is from AJ and a few other Giants fans listening to Big Blue Kickoff Live want to know, why haven't the Giants signed their other two rookies, Darian Thompson and B.J. Goodson?
You know what? That's a good question. They'll get to it. I feel like, you know, some of their agents probably have a lot of other guys they're trying to get signed, and it's just a matter of time. I saw today that the Baltimore Ravens already have all of their draft picks signed. So, I mean, you know, it's just, and for those that don't know about the rookies, their contracts are all set. You know, they're slotted, signing bonuses and everything. So there's not a lot of negotiations to go into those. The first, second, and third rounders, there's a little bit of negotiations, but the fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh, they're stock contracts. You're drafted in 125 or 150, whatever it is. This is what you're getting. This is where it is. So they'll get around to it. They'll get around to it.
Again, just want to remind you, Big Blue Kickoff Live brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy sports. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. It's as simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter the promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings, fantasy sports, free to play. We continue with our calls, 201-939-4513. We go to Will calling in from New York.
Hi, Will.
Will, welcome in.
Hi. Hey, how you doing? The one question I have is, what is the disparity between college Canadian football and American football?
Well, I know that the I know there's only three downs in Canadian football.
No, but I'm talking about college because, like, if you look at the CFL, their mock draft, because they haven't had their draft yet, the Giants have actually signed four out of their top five people that are expecting, which are offensive linemen, the one guy Vandenkort, the one guy Guillon. Guillon is supposed to be a top-rated tackle, but they said a lot of American scouts overlooked him because he plays in the Canadian Football League. And the other guy, they call him the gentle giant, Vandenkort, who's supposed to be a monster.
I don't know. Anita, do you have any? I don't follow the Canadian. I don't even know who those guys are, to be honest with you. I'm sorry. You know, but.
Because I know the Giants are looking for offensive line help, and I know there's a disparity as far as the talent level, but, I mean, if these guys are supposed to be the top notch of the Canadian Football League, there must be some worth to them in the American football.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't the Giants sign a kid from Canadian Football
Jones.
League last year?
Yep.
Yeah. And so,
Jones. And that, you never hear nothing much about him.
Yeah, but I don't.
He played
I don't
professional
think,
Canadian football.
Yeah, but
these
I think
guys that
you're
are,
talking about college.
But Will,
guys.
I think he got injured last year. I think that's why.
But you're talking about college guys coming out of college, right? The Canadian football
yes.
players coming out of college. Okay. Yeah. You know what? All I can say is I think that it's, you know, it's one of those things where how good is the competition up in Canada? You know, I know that these guys are supposedly, as you say, supposed to be the top tiered. That would be to me, it would probably get them a look, maybe not being drafted, but obviously maybe trying to get into a team somewhere, a camp, right?
Well, the also thing that I was looking at is they also played in the East-West Shrine Game, both of them.
Okay. Yeah.
So isn't that considered American college football?
Well, if you play in that, I guess if you play in that game, it is. Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. We'll be following those names. We'll see. Maybe the
All
Giants
right.
will pick up one of them. Who knows?
All right.
All right.
Thank you for your phone call. Let's continue. We go to Long Island. Richie's calling in. Richie, welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Richie.
Just one thing about the Eli Apple thing. There was a call the other day that kind of compared it to when the Knicks drafted Kristaps Porzingis. Now, of course, at the time, you know, it was like a name that wasn't really paired with the Giants too much. And I think most of the people who are calling it a reach are like the same ones who probably looked at other mock drafts and saw Eli Apple going in the later rounds. You know, that's what my take is on, like, when people are saying it's a reach, like, I don't know how you're going to say it's a reach. He hasn't even played an NFL game yet.
Exactly. And who are the people saying that it's a reach? Are they working for these organizations? Are they, you know, obviously the Giants weren't the only one that had him rated. A lot of teams had him differently. But I would tell you this, that Eli Apple, the disparity between what some team had him at maybe 14, one team had him at 10. He wasn't down there at a second-round draft pick grade. He's a first-round draft pick grade by 32 teams. So just because the Giants grab him 10th, everybody's up in arms about it. But the fact is that, you know, from what we think, the Giants missed out on a couple guys they didn't want. And Jerry Reese, the next guy on the board was Eli Apple. And that's the way
exactly.
this team drafts. So, so you can't just say, oh, he's a reach or whatever. It's what every team is different. So who was that next guy? If it was the Baltimore Ravens and they were on the clock at number 10, would have been Eli Apple? We don't know because we don't know
exactly.
what their draft boards are.
Exactly. Like when I know, you know, people are like, oh, you know, I would have said Vernon Hargreaves, but for all we know, maybe other teams had Apple in front of Hargreaves as well. You know, I'm pretty sure the Giants weren't the only ones to have Apple rated higher on their board. Than Vernon Hargreaves was, you know.
And Richie, let me ask you this. Of all, you know, you're hearing everybody saying, oh, it's a reach, you know, but are you hearing a lot about what people are saying about him that he's not, like, I can't believe they didn't draft, I can't believe they drafted Eli Apple because of what? Because he's slow? Because he's not tall?
I can actually tell. I mean, he's a young kid, right? He's 20 years old. He's going to turn 21 maybe, like, I think a week before the first preseason game. So, I mean, Vernon Hargreaves is 20 as well. So, you know, like you get the comparison of Hargreaves and Apple, right? They say most people that I hear, most analysts just say that Hargreaves is an NFL-ready player right now, more NFL-ready. because of Apple having, and I've seen some tape of him. I've seen a couple of games, and he does hold. You know, he does tend to hold a little bit. And
all of them do.
That's like, yeah, they all do. And it's coming out of college, of course. They're 20 years old. But I don't know. I see more upside in him. He's, you know, 20 years old. He's 6'1". You know, he's not 5'11",
right.
Like, you know, something is our. And honestly, I really like the pick. The way that this division is going, really offensive. You know, Redskins got the wide receiver. You know, Eagles got a quarterback. I really think it was a solid pick. He's going to be good.
Let me tell you something. Yeah. If you're Eli Apple and you're 20 years old, and you got a mom like Eli Apple's mom, you grow up quick, man. Because I don't know if you've been following him on her on Twitter and stuff, but she is awesome. I mean,
she's hilarious. What she said about girls going in his like trying to message him now. Oh my God, that had me hilarious.
How about the one where she said where she called her own son a dude? He says, "Dude, you're not going into the draft with a Rolex and all that bling." He says, "You know what?" She said, "If you want to know what time it is, look on your cell phone," and I bought him a portable charger. That to me is so cool. So yeah, he's 20 years old.
The fact that
but
she
man,
said that, you know, he's raised right.
Exactly.
You know, he's like a class guy.
That's
you know,
hilarious.
Because when you see a mom like that, you know, she raised him the way you know that she's supposed to be. So he's not going to have any of those off the field problems. He's going to be sound.
And you know, mostly the Giants draft picks. They did draft a lot of high-character guys. You got a couple captains that are on the draft picks that were captains in college. So, you know, that is a big priority for the New York Giants organization.
And they came from big league schools, too.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
Oklahoma, you know, Ohio State. Boise State is a little bit,
you know,
Clemson. Not that much, but still up there.
Yeah.
You know, all in all, of course, you know, I just don't get how people can say when somebody's a reach or they overdraft them when they haven't even played in the NFL yet. That's
let's talk
thing
about Eli
people,
Apple
you know?
Being a reach this time next year. Then we'll have a better idea if he was a reach or not,
yeah.
Right?
And every rookie is going to have, you know, their mistakes. You know, every rookie is going to have challenges. That's just part of the game. Of course, it's not going to be sound every play. Just one more thing I wanted to comment on was the offensive line. I know most of the time when we talk about, like, Bobby Hart, you know, they put him at guard. They're like, oh, he's more of a guard. But if memory serves me correct, I think in the Jets game, he played right tackle. And he was going up against Muhammad Wilkerson, which is one of the highest-rated defensive linemen in the game right now. And he did a pretty good job against him in the Jet game when he played right tackle. So I just don't see how – you know, some people will say, oh, he's right guard for now. We see him at right guard and nothing else.
Well, I know at the end of the year, we were hoping Bobby Hart would have played a little bit more, but we didn't see him. So I feel like...
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't start him during the Eagles game.
Yeah.
The last Eagles game, he didn't even play. They gave the spot to Dallas Reynolds, which is beyond me. I don't know why they did that.
The Giants are creating ultimate competition at that.
Thank
right.
Thank you for the phone call, Richie.
At that right line, okay. There's going to be some other additions to it and some subtractions, but they are trying to compete, and that's what's going to happen. Okay, we know about the left side of the line. We just got to get guys to compete and to get hungry and get mean that want the job. And you heard a lot about. I don't know if you can read it. I'm not going to go into it too much, but Weston Richburg had some things to say. Go back and read it for yourself. It just goes to show you that there are some guys out there that are working their tails off, okay? And just they're trying to get everybody else to do the same and be on the same page. And the Giants coaching staff is trying to create competition at that right side, and they feel confident with the guys they have here in camp. Well, then they're going to have to step up for a starting position. That's the way it's going to work out, and that's the way it's going to go. So
here's some tweets. Again, hashtag from our tweeps. Hashtag Giants –
blah, blah, blah. We got blah.
Chat.
I can't talk either, so I'm rubbing off on you.
Maybe too many margaritas.
Yeah, it is a day after. It is a day after Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, yeah.
Cinco de Drinko.
So this is from Drew. He said, enough with the Apple thing.
All right. Good.
He's been drafted. It's done. He's a Giant. I hope he's great. Let's move on.
Thank you. That's what I – thank you.
This is from Bill. He said, all first rounders are equal. You don't know if you're getting a Peyton Manning or a Ryan Leaf. Eli Apple will start. Sounds like, you know, everybody's over the did the Giants reach discussion. Like, he's with the organization now. He's a Giant. We're both anticipating him to start. Like, that should be the conversation moving forward.
Half of the first round draft picks of 5 years ago, okay, or 4 years ago, were not offered their option years. So it's 50%, guys. You know, we don't know. So it's just a matter of you hope and pray that your first rounder becomes an all-pro, perennial Pro Bowler, and we hope that's what happens with Eli. But you're right. Let's just move on. Let's talk about what he can do and what he's going to do rather than what he can't do and why people have him as a reach. Who cares? He's on the team now.
I'm just going to share some comments, and by all means, these interviews will be up on Giants.com a little bit later on today if you want to see the interviews with a lot of these rookies. Eli Apple, this is him, this is Paul texting me when we started the show. He said that it's weird that he didn't get targeted much this past season, but teams kind of shied away from him, expects to get picked on in passing game as a rookie. Says that his mom can share his spotlight. She is big on earning things and not being flashy. Knows the slot corner is harder because you have to communicate more. He's trying to learn all that he wants to know to show the coaches this week that he's a worker and a grinder. Said that he watched Dominic Rogers Cromartie as a kid. Says he's lanky like him and wants to learn more from him. And so that's what Eli Apple has said. Any comments on that?
Well, I think that it comes from what people are saying about his mom, and he even said it there. He said, you know what, my mom's always made me earn things and not be flashy. So that's the mentality of that kid, and that's the way he's been brought up. And I think got no reason to believe that he's going to go out there and work his butt off and for a starting position. I mean, I see starting position. He's not going to start over Jenkins and DRC, but he's going to be in the mix for that third cornerback, which you need. And I think that if you're a first-round draft pick, like what you said earlier, Vanita, he's going to play. The kid's going to play. You don't draft somebody in the first round unless you're a quarterback behind somebody.
It's not even
somebody.
The first round. It's top 10.
It's 10. It's yeah, 10. Exactly. You're going to play.
This is from Shepard, Sterling Shepard. He said he's honored to be compared to Cruz. Met with him yesterday. Again, I kind of read that what a coincidence that it is that he got the number 87. That's what his dad used to wear. He wanted something in the teens, but he said that he's going to rock it. Says weight room is a big key to his success. Always told that he was too short. It motivated him.
So he jumped higher.
Says he doesn't feel pressure in regard to being drafted in the second round. Has done well so far dealing with whatever has been thrown at him. He heard that the speed of the game will be his biggest adjustment. And he's excited to go up against Eli Apple at practice.
Good. Competition. That's what it's all about. Those two guys, you know, they'll get out there and they'll learn from each other. Sterling Shepard, he's going to learn a lot from Beckham and Cruz. And don't forget about Dwayne Harris out there too, another veteran that he can learn a lot from.
BJ Goodson says he views himself as a middle linebacker, can play all three. Eager to study the playbook. Says no excuse to not be able to get to the ball side to side. Football, faith, and family keeps life simple.
Well said. I see him as a middle linebacker, too. He could probably play a little Sam, but I think that's where they'll have him to play, which asks the question, you know, what's the team going to do with Kennard? You may see Kennard being down with his hand in the dirt this year a little bit. You know, he did it in college. Not a lot of depth at that defensive end position, so Spags might want to, you know, change it up a little bit.
And last but not least, Tyden Adams says he feels pretty good. He feels he's a pretty good blocker. It's a pride thing to put his hand in the dirt and block. Also likes to play special teams.
There you go. Something you'd like to hear out of a tight end. We need somebody to block. That's been the one Achilles heel for the tight ends over the years. Recently, it's been the blocking. They all can catch the ball pretty good. But yeah, so that's good. You know, in special teams, like we said earlier, Anita, they're going to have, those are the guys, those late round draft picks have to understand that's where they're going to make their hay. They're going to have to make the team by playing special teams.
All right. Hey, it's been a fun Friday afternoon with
you. It's already over?
Yeah. Can you believe it?
I believe it. Lunchtime.
So, but you have a great weekend.
You too.
And again, just want to remind everybody, Justin Tuck, his retirement press conference is going to happen in exactly 59 minutes at 2 o'clock. And you could watch it right here on Giants.com. And all the interviews that took place today with a number of the rookies, they'll be posted on Giants.com a little bit later on this afternoon. So make sure you look for those. Wishing everybody out there a fantastic and phenomenal weekend.
Hopefully a sunny one.
And, yes, you've got the Kentucky Derby on Saturday.
Right, the Mud Derby. And, yeah, you going to be wearing your big hat again this year?
No.
I saw your tweet with the
big hat. There last year.
Once is enough, right?
One too many
mint juleps?
I would have liked to have gone back. It just wasn't a working assignment that I got this year. But nonetheless, everybody have a fantastic weekend, and we'll see you back Monday at noon right here on Giants.com for Big Blue Kickoff Live.